Health. And on today's show, we're going to be frank about PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. There are a myriad of mental health issues that we could talk about. And I have expertise in various illnesses that I have had to deal with in personal friends, colleagues, so forth and so on. But there is nothing more prevalent today than PTSD. I would have to say from our country's recent experience with COVID-19, it has brought it into the forefront of many people that are trying to understand what it's like to try to reopen into the new normal, whatever that will appear to be. And as people slowly in various states are doing that, everybody has a different reaction about, oh, should I take off my mask? Oh, no, if I do, I'm going to possibly get into the respirator. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine yet. Among any of the experiences of unfortunately losing loved ones to COVID-19. But PTSD is more than just a COVID-19 response. Post-traumatic stress disorder actually dates back to World War II, the Vietnam War, any kind of wartime event that would put anyone in harm's way due to the nature of the event that's occurring in our history. And of course, just living through wartime, whether you're a civilian or whether you're in the military, can bring about a traumatic exposure. And as such, sometimes the war has never ended, even after its years gone. Vietnam War is a primary example there. Today I have on the show a very dear friend of mine going back 30 plus years. And essentially, though, we have a lot in common in areas of PTSD. I've invited her. Her name is Solange Pilizoda, born and raised here in New York City. However, she now hails in Chicago, where she has had an opportunity over the past year to work with aged individuals who are having hearing problems, and she's assisting them in obtaining new ways to improve on their hearing through devices that she helps to promote and advocate at Costco. In addition, she's also worked in previous healthcare-oriented roles, which I'm going to have her share with all of you today. But I personally think after having spoken with her the last 6 months in the whole concept and creation of this show, that there's no one better that could talk about PTSD than Solange herself. So again, first, let me describe what PTSD is. It is a pervasive post-traumatic illness subject to hallucinations, reliving the event, cold sweats, nightmares, tremors, among other physical and emotional reactions, even when all is well. That is something that requires, in certain instances, medication. However, even for those that are able to live a high quality of life, even having recurring episodes of traumatic events that have occurred, there is the constant aid of talk therapy, music therapy, and even other kinds of therapeutic interventions that are being developed as we speak. But to understand PTSD, the way that is best on this show is just to be frank about it with my dear friend Solange. So Solange, welcome to this episode of Frank About Health.
Thank you, my dear friend. I appreciate you. And it's an honor to be here with you tonight. So go ahead. I'm an open book. What do you need?
I'd like to first know from you, how do you personally identify with PTSD in your life? Has there ever been one core traumatic event that started maybe when you were a child or maybe a teenager or even in your adult life that would qualify you to be, I guess, a personal or a person who has a true experience with PTSD?
I would definitely say, and I do need to correct you on one point. I'm sorry about that. But I was not born in New York City. I wish I was born in New York City. I was actually born in Chile in South America. And that is where my PTSD started. And it is something I was not aware of. You know, it took many years to realize, actually up until COVID, to find out how deep-rooted this was. And not many people are aware that there was a civil war in Chile in the early 70s. It was left versus right, you know, Democrats versus socialism and communism. And anyway, it was just a lot going on. And we truly lost everything during that time. There were people's lands being taken away, homes being taken away. There were Soviet troops in Chile, CIA in Chile. There were all kinds of things. And it was a time where, yeah, our family was ripped apart. My mother came to the United States because the government, if the Soviets had taken over, they were going to rewrite Chile's history books, and boys 11 years old and older were going to go to the military. So my parents decided we have to get out of here. My dad wanted to go to Australia, but we didn't have enough money to move to Australia. You would have to be an indentured servant for 7 years and work the land before they would allow you to settle into Australia at that time. My mom's dad was an American soldier in World War II. And being born during World War II made her a citizen by birth. So she came here with $45 in her pocket and found his family and had a sponsored job. She was a vending machine girl at Beth Israel Medical Center down there. And she sent tickets for us 9 months later. So it started at that point. The situation in Chile got worse. We used to have to hide under windows, and there were people rioting the streets, gunfire. It was very traumatic. And for a five-year-old, it could have gone either way. I could have forgotten it or remember it clearly, and I remember it very clearly. And then when we came to this country, my dad was not granted a visa. My grandmother came in his place. So we were now four of us in a studio apartment in Flushing, Queens, my mom working all kinds of hours to keep a roof over our head. And it was very hard. I'm a survivor of sexual abuse, as well as some neglect, some verbal abuse from alcoholism. So there was a lot. There was a lot. And the fear of moving to New York City. It's quite the loud city. I just want to remind you. Holy moly. And it was just being scared of everything, you know, and not knowing the language. It was a lot of things. But, you know, you move along, you keep moving forward. And it was just moving a lot, you know, and eventually, you have to address your demons, you know, and it would come out in certain ways. I did have an attempt on my life when I was 15, right when I started Brooklyn Tech. Yep. And I survived.
Yes. Brooklyn Tech, the high school in which we met.
So it was right after I started Brooklyn Tech. And I woke up the next morning and I had made a promise to the universe that if I did wake up, I wouldn't try to do that again. So I didn't. But I knew I needed help. And it was very hard to get help. My family did not believe in that. I went to college, I asked for help. I was told because I wasn't getting financial aid, they couldn't help me. They advocated for myself and made a few threats. And a therapist heard me making these threats and said, please come into my office and let's have a chat. So I did, you know, and it's a long road. There's talk therapy. Eventually I did EMDR therapy, which uses stimulation left to right, you know, with clickers, with lights. And that helped a lot of the knee-jerk reactions, a lot of the suppressed memories from when I was a kid. And it really helped because, you know, you mentioned, you know, from war and, you know, you and I had talked about how it's the safety. It's you feel that your safety is gone. You know, you don't feel safe at home. I didn't feel safe at work. I didn't feel safe anywhere. And, I'm hyper vigilant of where is danger coming from. It's exhausting. Yep. It's exhausting.
Yes. Yes, I totally agree. I mean, for me, as you know, I'm an epileptic. I actually developed it at Brooklyn Tech. So talk about really getting the birth of fire in that experience and to deny it firsthand. But at the same time, at that time, only 16 years of age, to continue to excuse my behavior when I'm having a seizure as being just exhausted or just, you know, tired from no sleep or whatever, which of course those are the triggers. But little did I realize that I was developing my own version of PTSD because I'm also being hypervigilant about making sure I don't have a seizure in front of people. So there's the concern of that. And then there's the concern of what people are already thinking after they've experienced completely failing their exams when I'm having a seizure in front of them during them. So I always felt responsible for other people's feelings as a result of my epilepsy. So I can identify with what you talked about, you know, the kind of, you know, running away from a very, I don't know what you would call Chile. I don't want to say third world country, but it sounds like a revolution.
Yeah, it wasn't. And I think that's why, you know, in the situation with Chile, it was a very multiple levels of middle class. It has a very stable banking system. It's not considered a third world country at all. So I think that's why the possible Soviet takeover didn't work. You have to have at least half that population starving to take over like that type of revolution.
Right.
And it wasn't the case there. So, but anyway, and the CIA came to the rescue. Just saying.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. The thing is revolution, whether it's internal or external, still brings about the seeds.
Oh my goodness.
Of traumatic stress disorder in one's life.
My family. It really does.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, we lost everything. Yeah.
Wow. So when you began, maybe that's why I thought you were born in New York City, because you were really born again when you came to New York City.
Yeah. But then there were still the boogeymen were still out there. For sure. Because there was the abuse continued, you know, whether it was the janitor in our building, family members, it was not good. It was not good. It's that feeling of not feeling safe anywhere.
Yes, exactly. I mean, there's not a bigger word that I've heard this entire time, especially during the time of COVID, other than hypervigilance. I think hypervigilance to begin with, is we've all had to be aware of, like, oh, stay 6 feet apart. Stay with your mask on, make sure you're vaccinated or make sure you're tested. I mean, we were living our own revolution of sorts for the past 15 months. I'm sure that there are stories to share about PTSD just on COVID alone. In fact, that's what I want to devote the second segment of our show about. But the thing that I also found interesting after we reconnected more recently, especially during the time of COVID, is you had told me about your family, that basically there's a history of, I don't know, you met autism or Asperger's or even epilepsy or seizure disorder. Can you elaborate if that had any contribution to the kind of PTSD reactions you had over the past year?
Yeah, absolutely. My mom is epileptic. She had, she was kicked by a horse. A horse came down on her when she was 6 years old in Chile. Mm-hmm. And her stepdad saved her life. I mean, no doctor wanted to operate on her. So there's always been, my mom was our main food earner when we came to this country, and her seizures, she was getting them constantly. It was so stressful. And yeah, it was, as a little kid, you know, don't do anything to upset mom. Don't do anything bad. Don't do, you know, don't add stress. Absolutely. Right. And on both my side and my husband's side, autism runs in the family on both sides. And our son, our boy, was born with autism disorder, ASD, autism spectrum disorder. And it was something that we discovered when he was 2 years old. And it was being hypervigilant on, you know, helping, giving him everything possible to have whatever you consider a neurotypical life, you know, at least to have every chance he could, you know, having lived, grown up in trauma, it was about taking care of my own stuff so I don't pass that luggage to my son or to any child. So I tried to do a lot of work so my kids shouldn't be paying for my sins or my mistakes, you know? I want to give them the foundation to have every chance they could. And I mean, one of the things with COVID, with us being home, because my job did close down for 2 months, and when it reopened, I never felt safe at work. We were in a very volatile neighborhood, and having my son at home, being homeschooled, at least I knew he was in a safe place.
You know? Well, actually, I just had to say, Solange, I don't mean to interrupt you, because you're actually doing the segue to the next segment.
We're going to stop right there.
Well, we're just going to take a small break, 2 minutes worth, and I definitely want to hear more about this, especially in the realm of COVID. Exactly. This is Frank About Health here on talkradio.nyc. We'll be back in a few.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Andow, for the show, A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, we journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday at 7 p.m. So tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
Did you know that nearly one in five adults in the U.S. battles mental illness? Hi, my name is Albert Dabba. I'm the host of the show Extra Innings. Extra Innings, I discuss the topics of wellness, mental health, and the experience of surviving multiple suicides within my family. Listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern to Extra Innings for discussions with sports figures, artists, mental health professionals, and many others. That's Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back. This is Frank R. Harrison here at Frank About Health. Today, I'm being frank about PTSD with Solange, my dear friend from X number of years. I think algebra was one of our subjects. But I was listening to your story about COVID-19, and you were getting into what it was like to experience PTSD, I guess, with your son, with your husband, even your own reactions to events, where you're concerned about if you even, I think you even said you had a bout of COVID-19. You must have had nightmares and those delusional dreams that come with it. Sometimes that's part of PTSD at the same time. I also want to hear a little bit about what it was like working with the type of seniors that you are working with who also were experiencing PTSD during that time. So the floor is yours again.
Oh, thank you so much. But yeah, we get to COVID. And, you know, when in Illinois, the governor gave the order for non-essential to shut down on March 16th, I want to say. So my son was actually the first one home. My husband's company made parts for ventilators. So he was actually essential. They did cut their hours a little bit, but he was working all through it. Mm. We thought we were essential as a hearing aid company. I was working with a different company at the time. 2 weeks later, the governor's like, yep, you're not essential. Oh my goodness. Tell someone who can't hear their loved ones. So here you are at home. You can't hear the television. You can't hear your loved ones. It's hard for you to talk on the telephone. We had people so upset, disappointed, angry with us. When we reopened on June 11th, it was to constant, phone messages. How dare you? People coming in person. And I would just let them vent. What could I do? And then at the end of it, I'd say, you know, it's horrible. I understand hearing is essential. However, our governor did not feel that we were, you know. So, it's a pandemic. Please don't take it personally. A lot of people took it very personally. A lot of people put all their stress and fear of what was going on into we took away their hearing. And with hearing, you connect with your loved ones. You know, that's how you connect, is through hearing. So, it was, folks were very upset with us. I met, in meeting with patients, especially patients that were from overseas, some countries in Eastern Europe or some countries in Africa, where they had PTSD, had come back with a rage because they had experienced civil war in their homeland and had left with very little in their pockets. And now being in this COVID environment, you know, and then after the George Floyd murder, just the trauma of not knowing what was going to happen. My husband and son wanted to buy a gun, you know, and I'm like, no. We did, however, adopt a dog.
Yes.
We adopted a 62-pound American Staffordshire Terrier. No one messes with my dog, you know. And my son, he was home 2 weeks and I had been saying we need a dog for weeks. And he's just like, Mom, we need a dog. You know, he with his autism and just, you know, he tends to run a little bit on the negative side. And it's hard for him sometimes to see the gray. You know, he's a black and white thinker. Mm-hmm. And now you're telling me you want a dog and everything has shut down. You know, where do I find a dog? But a good friend of mine from the advertising business that I was in for many years let me know about Fetching Tales Foundation, and they do all foster care for dogs. So he was at a home. We filled out the application. My son picked him out from a lineup. And we had the dog. Yeah, we filled out the application Saturday, met him on Monday, masks on, social distancing, and we had him in our home by Friday night. It was great. So that's awesome. How we, my husband and son, that's what helped them with the PTSD, because it was that fear and watching the news and being up all night. And of course, your sleep is affected. You know, it felt like that hypervigilance again, because right. You didn't know what was going to happen. You didn't know. And then working with these folks that, you know, you're now with a face shield, a mask, gloves, and they want to hug you, you know, because you're probably, I'm the only person they've seen, right? And you're like, right. I can't, you know, but it was just such an interesting environment. And I did have a COVID scare at the end of June. I had to quarantine. I did test negative. And then I did contract COVID the end of October at my job, my old job. Then I moved to Costco.
Wow.
Yeah, I did.
When you contracted COVID, how did that affect you immediately?
I couldn't stop crying. Wow. I couldn't stop crying. Even after the first COVID scare, the end of June, every time I thought about going back to work, I couldn't stop crying.
Amazing.
And I did reach out for talk therapy because I knew something wasn't right. It manifested into physical pain, terrible neck pain, sleepless nights, mind racing, sweats, all of those things you said.
Yeah.
You know, all my dreams were full of action and, you know, all of those things and just exhaustion. And I reached out to my doctor. She couldn't see me till September. And then I had a list of things and she gave me 6 referrals. And now it was trying to put myself back together. And then I got COVID the end of October. And I did end up in the emergency room. I couldn't breathe. And I did, they gave me a cocktail of something in the IV, and I did respond. They sent me home, and I was in the back bedroom locked up for weeks. And then I found out that my company took me off payroll without even telling me. So now it's my health, providing for my family. I mean, it was
a nightmare.
Every which way.
Did you ever find out if that cocktail was remdesivir by any chance?
No, it was not. It was not. It was 3 things. But no, I know someone asked me. It was a lot of, it's very long words. But
myoclonal antibodies?
Okay. I responded. And I did eventually test negative on the 12th of November. And I was actually going to go back to work. And I asked for more PPE because I had nothing to sanitize the air. I didn't have the proper face shield. I did not have a KN95 mask. It was the disposable one that they wanted me to wear all day. I needed to replace that after each person I saw, you know?
Right.
So I asked for more help. And I was told, I don't know what you're worried about. You've had COVID. You're fine. I'm like, there's no cure for stupid, is there? I said, I have to walk away from this job. And I have no other job lined up. But I had started the interview process, and that's when Costco came to the rescue, and I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
It was the 5-year plan, but just their member services alone, the prices they give members for hearing, it's just wonderful. And people are just so grateful to be hearing. You know, everyone's like, I hate these masks with my hearing aids. I hate them, you know, but I'm like, we're going to get through it because I feel I got to be the light for these people, you know, and it's very important.
You know, during my delusional dreaming, because I contracted COVID when we shut down, literally during our 35th high school reunion on Zoom, and basically I had a 103 spike temperature within minutes after logging on and slept for 15 hours and woke up thinking I was the king of immunity from Spain. Talk about delusion. I was awake when I was thinking this. But the thing is that at least I didn't have any epileptic seizures, but I thought already I was going through some form of PTSD, living with my father at the time, who was also going through cancer treatment, trying to be worried that all of a sudden, never mind being the king of immunity, I was worried I was going to be the darkness of death for him, God forbid.
Oh, right.
And luckily enough, I found out that was at least he got it, but asymptomatically. And of course, I learned a lot from that. But I can identify with what you're saying from the experience you had when you got it and you lost your job subsequently. Even though at the time your son had his support animal, which is a good thing. So at least whatever stress that you were dealing with, you knew that at least your son and your husband were protected. within the means that they were given, right?
Yeah.
And you had the timely support of getting a job, what, within a month after returning back to health?
I had hand surgery, bilateral hand surgery in October. Hmm. And because I work with my hands all day on hearing aids, and we had so many repairs and cleanings to do. I mean, I went from maybe two or three a day to two dozen, you know, and it was just pain on the hands. But I figure I was on disability October, then I got COVID. So, yeah, I didn't have a decent paycheck for 3 months.
You got stimulus money, though, right?
That came in the end of December, right?
Yeah, right.
I started at Costco December 8th. And okay. So, yeah, after Christmas, I got my first paycheck, and that was a huge help. My mom came to the rescue and helped us just to keep our head above water, you know, thank goodness. So when I got my stimulus check, I actually gave it to my mom.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you definitely had a support network at that time. I mean,
thank goodness, and therapy. And I did get on, I did see a psychiatrist the end of September who diagnosed me with PTSD, severe depression, and anxiety.
So when they refer to the depression and anxiety as symptoms of the overall PTSD spectrum?
Everything. And then with the work that I was doing in June, being in a very volatile neighborhood by myself in a clinic. Mm-hmm. So it was constant, my safety versus me providing for my family. It just came to a head. And being in that neighborhood where there was gang violence, unrest, screaming all the time, police activity, I did not feel safe at all. And it was, I keep going forward, being my motto, just wasn't cutting it.
Wow. So then would you say overall that would have been an experience of experiencing PTSD-like symptoms while going through all these transitions?
Yes. It was PTSD on the PTSD. It was like squared, you know? And then that's when all this, you know, because that whole part in Chile, that was never a suppressed memory. The EMDR therapy I did was for suppressed stuff.
Right.
The Civil War, the unrest, my family ripped apart. That was always part of my history. We didn't realize how much damage it did, really. It really did. And it was just festering until COVID happened. And now unrest, screaming, you know, marches and riot. I mean, whether I believed in what people were marching about, that wasn't the point. It was the marching. It was the act of it happening was just so unsettling for me.
But at least another example of how COVID is bringing out the transparency to what our society was going through and bringing out your past experience to learn how to cope. Obviously, there was an advantage of going through your early trauma so you would be able to jump into the heat of the fire during your time of receiving COVID, losing your job, and finding job all subsequently in the same window of time. Going into the new year, as we're all recovering, you're already on the road to it. Listen, we're headed for another break, but I just wanted to say you've given me more inspiration in terms of an upcoming episode that I'm going to dedicate entirely to COVID. I just haven't figured out exactly when that's going to be. But here in New York, we heard today that when we receive 70% vaccination, which they're expecting by Friday, all mandates are going to be lifted. Now that I have yet to see, but I'm ready for PTSD galore. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Frank R. Harrison with my dear friend Solange Pilizotta on talkradio.nyc. We'll be back in a few.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Frank R. Harrison here, welcoming you to the third segment of this episode about being frank about PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Interesting conversation just now all about PTSD before, during, and after COVID-19. She mentioned earlier about the riots that we all know about that were happening across the country, especially after the murder of George Floyd. I think that was the nation's PTSD from all of the civil unrest that we were experiencing at that time, or just the fact that people were able to finally express their feelings after being on lockdown for 2 to 3 to 4 months, depending on what part of the country you were in at the time. Overall, remember when I came to visit you in 2019, way before this happened? Solange, I came to Chicago and I was telling you about my work with Hilton, and I was telling you about how I wanted to launch a very big opportunity for our alma mater, and talking about how my passion for healthcare has grown tremendously, especially, and this is pre-COVID-19, but I think the whole focus at that time was trying to be helpful to the people that I not left behind, but when you graduate and you go to college and you go and work and you get married and you have children and everything else, you kind of leave a legacy behind and you want to reinforce it somehow. I don't know. Maybe I was going through my own midlife crisis, but the thing of the matter is you were so welcoming again and giving me a lot of direction and advice, especially since I had told you about a personal situation that put me under some form of PTSD. And I found, even just in discussing with you when we were over, what was it? We had Italian food and pizza that night, you know, and I was also staying with a friend of mine who was actively trying to go to a Madonna concert, and I just wanted to rest. That's all I knew. But what I wanted to find out is your reaction of that night, because I think it actually opened up a new chapter between you and I. I mean, here we are right now, weekly, talking on the phone every Sunday, or on Zoom rather, every Sunday morning. And it's a nice, refreshing thing, especially from someone that is part of my childhood, you know, and I think that's what we're all looking for, ultimately, that connection of family and real friends, especially after a time of being so divided after something like COVID-19. But I think it's become more of a necessary recovery mechanism in order for all of us to deal with our collective PTSD, which I think is going to become more evident in the coming months.
Mm-hmm. I think so, you know, and something good has to come out of this. I mean, and for me, it was finally addressing the PTSD that I've been carrying all this time. I hadn't even identified it. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, it was like, well, it was my history. I survived it, whatever, keep going. And with COVID, I couldn't keep going. It was quicksand, you know, it was a quicksand thing. So right before when we met in 2019, October, I mean, I was just so excited to see you. I mean, because we had kind of kept in touch, you know, I saw you in 2010, 2012, met you downtown. We would send little notes here and there, you know, messenger notes, whatever the case was. But yeah, it was just, it felt so natural, Frank, you know, and just to sit down and to meet. And I was like, wherever I got to drive, I'm going to drive, you know. It was just wonderful. And we were the only two in the restaurant, right? And we just talked and you shared, and, you know, especially with healthcare. And here I had gone into healthcare with me going back to school at, you know, 50 years old to learn the hearing business. And, you know, mm-hmm. I was in advertising for 25 years. And it's like, what am I doing going back to school at this age? That's crazy. But it was as scary as it was, I kept moving forward. And it was great to see that we both had this love for healthcare and just with no agenda other than helping other people. And I think it's wonderful. And for mm-hmm. me, it did help getting through this, you know. Yeah. Would it have been safer for me to have been in advertising still? Yeah. But that was not a good place for me. So
I would have lost your job with all the layoffs that were occurring and stuff.
They actually kept a lot of people, but yes, they did let go. So I don't know what would have happened. I'm just very grateful to be in a field where I'm helping people. Hearing is so intertwined with cognitive health. I wish people knew more about that. You know, it just, mm-hmm. it is so important. Letters are sounds. If you're not hearing sounds in the volume you need to, you're going to forget what words are. Your brain's not going to recognize words anymore. You know,
correct.
It's so important. So I'm thrilled to be in this line of business. And, you know, that night in 2019, it was great to see that in some weird way, we were both in the same path again, right?
It's yes. Yes. Yeah. But even more so, I mean, I always think that maybe it was our preparation, because barely 5 months later, we're now being hypervigilant towards our family and our friends and our colleagues and our patients. Well, in your case, the patients you were dealing with, that it's like we were already primed for it, indirectly or unconsciously or subconsciously, expecting to be the advocates that I know that I'm personally on a mission to become more of, especially in the area of COVID-19. But the thing is that I think that, you know, I don't want to get too religious right now, but I think they do say God works in mysterious ways. I was led there because a good friend of mine who wanted to go see Madonna offered me his place to just hang out for a couple of days. And being that you lived in Chicago, I reached out. And before you know it, we're just having an organic conversation, only to realize that it actually was the seeds to what became the last year and a half, 2 years since then. So it's like I'm now a firm believer, not just the typical phrase, everything happens for a reason, but the phrase that when you are connecting with those that you grew up with, even if it's been a long gap of time since you've seen them, there's a reason for that. That's being there to know who your core support system is or is going to become. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think one takeaway I would like the listeners out there to have from our conversation, that if you have friends out there that you haven't seen in a while or that you just want to reach out to, just to check in and get a reflection of where you stand with that person versus your history with them, see if there's even a potential future. Because I have a feeling that we as a nation, never mind if you're just in Chicago like you are or me in New York City, we as a nation are going to have to really band together as things slowly and evolve into a new normal. We don't know what that's going to be like. I mean, I know there was the pandemic 100 years ago, which I don't think we were born from. You know, we didn't have any experience with that. But the thing is that we still had a basis in society that allowed us to rebound from that. This is totally new. I mean, even the vaccines is new. It's all through genetic coding, you know, and stuff that had never been tried before. I think we're all together in this, as they say, into the unknown. And I think that is considered the new normal. Don't expect or plan for the future as tremendously as you did in the past. Expect a lot of resiliency and expect a lot of ways to retreat into your history and somehow manage that in your new future with your family and other loved ones. But this is where I'm saying post-traumatic stress disorder can become an asset to yourself. If you can understand your symptoms, that maybe they're just reflecting on something that is in your life at the moment that you need to watch for or measure and do reality testing on, and therefore allow yourself to learn from it, heal from it, and then give to others so they can do the same. And I think that's very evident in the work you're doing. You mentioned to me over the weekend when we were talking about this episode that you have seen when your patients come to you with more hearing assistance, their eyes light up, like all of a sudden they've been reborn again or something. Yeah. Would you say that is a post-traumatic disorder reaction, or is that just a feeling of relief? How would you classify that?
Well, because sound is such, it is just such food for the brain, and that's truly, I see it. People come to me, you know, with a sense of embarrassment. They feel that nobody has patience for them for hearing. I mean, it just seems as a disability that hearing is the one people have the least patience for. You know, it's, did you hear that, Mom? Well, should I play it louder? Can you hear it now, Mom? And, oh, she doesn't hear. And, you know, and just, it's all, there's a humiliation with it, with having the hearing loss. There's a sense of not feeling embarrassed. There's a sense of being disconnected from the people around you because they don't want to hear you say, what did you say anymore? You know, so there is shame in it, embarrassment. There's a, you're isolating yourself in a crowd of people, you know, and people, how many people have said to me, I just nod, but I'm not following anything people are saying. They don't want to put the TV any louder because their spouse is going to be upset at the volume. So they just look at the pictures, you know, it is just, and they're trusting me with that experience. They're trusting me with those feelings. And it's my job to let them feel heard, for lack of a better word, no pun intended. But yeah, and then to tell them that, you know, the hearing aids are very discreet, but to know that, you know, the hardest part's the very beginning because you're hearing sounds you haven't heard in a long time. But then to know that they're wearing those hearing aids, when they come back to see me after 2 weeks, their eyes are brighter because their brain's getting what it needs. They're reconnecting with people, hearing things. I've had a police officer that was, I fit her with hearing aids on a Friday, and she had to see me Monday because she knew it was going to be a very hard experience. She came to see me Monday. She was crying because she had heard birds Saturday morning. She put her hearing aids in after showering and heard the birds. She had not heard birds in years.
Wow.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. So right now, I think after, you know, after COVID and PTSD, many of us have, it is about reaching back to people. You know, I have a friend that we speak every week, and she's a friend of mine from 1991, not as long as you and I know each other, but just, you know, and she's had her hard times. And I have to tell you, with everything I've been through, I, in a lot of capacity, I wasn't able to do that. I didn't have the bandwidth to do that. Now being on the road to recovery, and like you said, reality check, I have to send a shout out to my weekly therapist, because I have a social worker I speak to every week, Jessica over at Unbroken Family Counseling. But I have to tell you, she has me do homework every week, you know, whether it's forgiving myself for something, writing down things I'm proud of. There's always a story, you know, something, some sort of homework to help me work these things out. And also reality check, you know, driving to work, because I get anxious still. My last environment was not great. I still get anxious, even though I'm going to a safe place. I'm going to somewhere that respects me. I still have to do a reality check and talk myself through that I am safe.
Yeah, and I can only imagine that sometimes PTSD itself, especially for younger folks like ourselves, can sometimes create hearing loss, because when you're traumatized, your mind is ruminating through whatever the trauma is. And sometimes you won't hear what people are saying as they're talking to you because you're listening to what you're thinking versus what you're hearing.
Yeah, you shut yourself off completely. Yeah.
Correct. We're on the way to our final break of the hour, and this is Frank R. Harrison with Solange Pilisota on Frank About PTSD here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Howdy, I am Joseph
Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Thanks for joining us here the last 45 minutes on Frank About Health. This is Frank and Solange talking about PTSD and the experiences we both have in common, especially in the area of COVID-19. I've heard a few touching moments about the elderly that she's worked with who have been given assistance with hearing aids that she's working on over at Costco, and how people are enlightened when they can hear words again, when they can see TV programs again, when they can connect again. It is all about connection after all. One thing you also talked about, Solange, earlier when we first started the show is your son and his experience with autism and Asperger's. You mentioned about his support animal that you managed to get for him. But I think you also had told me a little bit about a music class that he's involved in. Has it been very helpful to him for dealing with whatever black and white thinking creates for his concerns and anxieties? Or is it just because he loves music? Is it a combination of therapy as well as something he loves to do? Can you enlighten also about it?
Absolutely. Yeah, he's a trumpet player. He started in fifth grade. And of course, you know, his dad is a guitar player. I'm a singer. We have a saxophone in the house. We have drums in the house. We have guitars. No, he wanted to do his own thing and play trumpet. Good for him, right? So yeah. He is just good at it. You know, he... just his brain sees those notes. I mean, it's like mathematics, right? Music is math. And mm-hmm. he does really well. And his music teacher just wants him to be more of a leadership role. And it's great, you know? And sometimes my son just has to tell it like it is. And I tell his teacher, please don't take it personally. I just don't take it personally. But yeah, we do, every year we do a fundraiser. We do a couple of fundraisers. I help with a Fannie Mae fundraiser, and a lot of the money goes towards a big trip they do to Orlando every 2 years, which was canceled this past year due to COVID. But we're hoping next March we may be able to go, and all that fundraising puts money into their little accounts for their trip. But it gives them opportunities to learn from famous conductors, songwriters, and we do an annual cabaret night, which I get to host. And this year we did it online. We did it all online. It was all virtual. All the students pre-recorded their performances. It was amazing. We had people from all over the world watching, all over the country. And we raised a wonderful amount of money that helped buy marching band equipment. So my son just loves playing in music. It's great to hear him play music. He also... does athletics. He needs double the physical activity of a neurotypical person. It just helps keep him grounded. It helps with his mood. It has helped him going through puberty. So he works out 2 to 3 hours a day.
Very nice.
Yeah, he does very healthy. Basketball. He does weightlifting. He takes the dog for a run. He does cross country, you know, and it's a beautiful thing to see him running. He joined cross country and he was one of their top runners. And this was a kid who didn't learn to walk till he was two. You know, I mean, it's just wonderful. Tears in my eyes as he's running past me. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to see. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the illustrations you showed me that you're working on.
Yes. Well, during COVID, one of the things, you know, and I tell folks, you know, especially when, you know, you've had a loss or you're down, find what you're passionate about. Find a hobby. Find something that's just yours. And I connected a friend from college, a shout out to Lisa McFarland. She's a restaurant owner over at in Staten Island there by the Staten Island Ferry, a place called O. Henry's Public House. And she asked me to illustrate a book for her that she had written, a children's book called Cappy the Lobster. And I'm like, Lisa, I don't know. Solange, I remember college. You were always drawing and doing whatever. And I know you can draw. And I'm like, my grandmother used to punish me by making me sit down at the table for hours and draw while she would go drinking. She'd go drinking and leave me sitting at the table drawing. So I never had thoughts of wonderment about drawing. But anyway, I took up the challenge. I said, this is for my friend. She's been there through me, you know, helping me through thick and thin. And I illustrated her book for her. Then that led to another recommendation for another New Yorker, a New York author, a book called January and Friends. And then at the end of 2018, no, actually the end of 2019, a therapist reached out to me, a children's therapist named Matt Rome. He had written several short stories and poems about wonderful lessons and stories of love and friendship and respect for children. And I began illustrating, and I am finishing up my 11th project with him. And it is a love poem to children all over the world.
Awesome.
And it's all done in watercolor. So he definitely took me out of my comfort zone. And I just sent him the final draft this morning. And it's a beautiful book. And he uses Amazon for publishing. And it's been really rewarding. And that helped me get through this whole COVID thing too. I worked on six or seven books with him over COVID. And it was just something to keep me focused and, you know, cleanse my mind. You know, that also singing in a band. My husband and I have a band. And of course, we had no gigs. We did a couple of songs, you know, online that we sent out through our Facebook page and those kind of things. The arts, giving back to people. I still work with autistic adults at CSPAR, which is our park co-op with all the towns in the area. So kids that are special needs can also be part of recreational activities. I do that one or two Sundays a month, and it's my way of just giving back.
Awesome. So tell me more about your band. What is it called again?
Ah, my band. It's Sarcastic Cow. So one word, Sarcastic O-W. And me, my husband on guitar, our great friend Alan on drums, and we have a new bass player named Rob, and we do all kinds of songs, classic rock. But yeah, we have a Facebook page, Sarcastic Cow. We have some videos on YouTube. But yeah, it's so much fun. And I have to tell you, singing is like an exorcism for me. I just get it all out there. It's wonderful. Yes. And I can't wait to start gigging again. You know, it's awesome. It's just fun. It's so much fun. And I'm sure people just can't wait to be out, you know?
No, exactly. It sounds like to me overall, with everything that you've been through, whether it was as a child or even going through COVID and even just the last several months since the year began, that your PTSD in your life has actually been one of your assets with your career, with your drawing, with your singing, with your dealing with the involvement in fundraising. I mean, overall, it sounds like that you yourself could be an advocate for this, like you are with the people who need the hearing assistance from you. You know, I want people to reach out to you if they can. Besides Facebook, where else could they find you?
An email? I have a Gmail account, sunangel221@gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes, I'm happy. I am an open book, Frank. If my story can help anyone, absolutely. Absolutely.
And speaking of stories, those books that you have illustrated for, you said they're available on Amazon.com for people to purchase?
They are available on Amazon.com. Yep.
What are like the top three titles that you'd recommend people to buy?
Well, the one that's going to be published in the next couple of weeks is called Please No. January and Friends is a great book. Cappy the Lobster. And there's also a selection of four poems. starting with the roll away watermelon. It's a good one.
Awesome.
But it's a pleasure to create people's words and make them into pictures. It's great to bring them to life. It's an honor.
Exactly. Expressing at 360 degrees.
Yes.
Well, speaking about 360 degrees, we have 2 minutes left before we end. So I just want to summarize that today's show has been special in many ways for me. I'm able to talk about PTSD with all of you, especially at the time of COVID. I personally have been diagnosed with MDD, which is major depressive disorder, based on traumatic experiences. I don't know, being an epileptic, I think I've had my coping mechanism since I was 16. But overall, it is definitely something of an intriguing nature that all of us will be dealing with as we reopen in the coming months. If anybody has any questions for me about this topic or the last two shows that I have already brought here on talkradio.nyc, my Gmail account is frankabouthealth102@gmail.com. I'll be able to answer any questions you may have about this or future episodes of the show. Also, I understand that COVID-19 is a hot topic that I bring up on every episode. So like I said earlier, I will definitely be doing a special episode on COVID-19 to be determined. Ladies and gentlemen, we literally are headed for our planet Pakalolo with our host, Johnny Tsunami, right here on talkradio.nyc. Thank you again, Solange, for being here. You mean the world to me. We're going to have our call again on Sunday as usual.
Yes.
And more talk about a reunion for next year, but we'll talk about that later. And ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned for Planet Pakalolo, and I will see you all next week right here on talkradio.nyc. Thanks for listening.
Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talk Radio NYC with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply send us a message on our website, talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.